The teachings of the Buddha are a variety of paths or methods, rather, a variety of methods to accumulate causes that lead to the attainment of lasting, stable happiness, as well as the accumulation of causes that lead to the elimination of suffering, the causes that result in suffering. And this variety of trainings are divided into the groupings in relation to the capacity of the particular practitioner. So there are those trainings that are in accordance with those of initial capacity, those starting out in their training. Then there's a grouping of trainings that builds on that is in accordance with beings of intermediate or middling capacity. And then there's the final grouping of trainings that builds on the basis or the foundation of the previous two. And these are the trainings in accordance with a practitioner of supreme capacity. And of these three, it's the third type, that of the practices associated with the practitioner of supreme capacity, that are seen as the ultimate or the very best of the trainings, because these are the ones that lead to the highest form of happiness through the accumulation of the relevant causes, as well as the complete eradication of all causes of suffering, as well as their imprints.
Na chue di kewa chimpi ki chue chada macha saya di ni karakoro se ne jaju simki simpi ki da nyamlen gana chimpi ne kewa chimpi ki chue nyamlen chako re jaju simki simpa me na chue nyamlen dame pe chimpi nyamlen jepa da dame pala sokomba ina kewa chimpi chue chako ma re chesan da manzo dame pa kumba na chimpi nyamlen jepa chuchu nyamlen da da chimpa lo soba Pajin Tugin Nemlin Chevala, Jaju Sim Yukuni Lanche, Jimba, the Tulun Zuba, Tulu, something, Shelap Ting Nemlin Cheva, and the Tavachim Chakore, Jaju Sim Yimazimbaje, Jaju Sim Mevaje, Jimba, the Tulun Zuba, Tulu, something, Shelap Nemlin Cheva in there, they give Jingi Lamdin be Nemlin Chagrim, Chakramato, Tavachim Chako Marese, Tazada, Nunga Gansa said there, Gansa Tavachim be Gansa, Yim means there. 그런 가사 디귤에 잔주심 기회나 잡아침에 가사 차려요. 잔주심 기회나 아니 그런 냠는 지게 개바다 냠는 바 시우침에네 잡아침에 가사 차고 뭐 제가 디네 장서 가사디 잡아침에 참마셔야디 네 가사 디귤에 잔주심 위에 차고래. 但 lam nyamling ribati, tapa chimpy chue, nyamle reda maritia, jajusim gizimbis in zigor, jajusim gizimba in the tapa chimpy chue, nyamle chagor, jajusim gizim in the tapa chimpy chue, nyamle chagor, jajusim, jajusim, mazaki chimushu, chadirwa.
So what makes a here in the context we are now is looking at the importance of bodhicitta having as well as the cultivation thereof. Bodhicitta itself is seen as supremely important because it's through the presence of bodhicitta in one's continuum that the practices that the practitioner engages in or the trainings that the practitioner engages in, those practices, those same practices are called perfections. For example, the practice, the mental training of generosity. This is shared or engaged in by practitioners of initial capacity, intermediate capacity, and great capacity. But when the practitioner is a true practitioner of great or supreme capacity, they have bodhicitta in their continuum. And therefore, the same training in generosity is conjoined with bodhicitta. And then the training of generosity is now called a perfection. So the perfection of generosity. And that is because due to the presence of bodhicitta, the training in generosity will be cultivated and developed to the point of perfection. In other words, the attainment of Buddhahood. So therefore, it's the presence or absence of bodhicitta that enables a particular training, such as generosity or ethical restraint or patience or joyous perseverance, concentration or wisdom, to be called either a perfection or just a training. Because many of these trainings are shared by all practitioners. So of the six, four of them, generosity, ethical restraint, patience, joyous perseverance, are shared by practitioners of all capacity. The other two may be as well, concentration and wisdom. And certainly for practitioners of intermediate capacity, all six are engaged in. But they are not called perfections because they cannot be developed to the point of perfection due to the absence of bodhicitta. So therefore, bodhicitta is crucial because through the application of through the generation of bodhicitta, the same training, such as generosity, becomes a cause for enlightenment. Moreover, the generation of uncontrived bodhicitta in one's continuum, that is the entry point into the Mahayana. So when a practitioner generates uncontrived bodhicitta, they achieve the Mahayana path of accumulation and they are called a bodhisattva. So for this reason too, the generation of bodhicitta is seen to be of great importance.
Sanjiya kubwa tukwa shio sambe samlo samba chi samba juma ma yinba di juma ma yinba chi yuwa ba dini jila dini ki samjiya tamjiya kito sanjiya kubwa tukwa shio sambe juma ma yinba ki zo yu sem de la ta jashu sem sikuruwa.
What is meant by this Sanskrit word bodhicitta, or in English the mind of enlightenment? It's a commitment that is uncontrived, so it's been generated repeatedly over a sustained period, so that one's so habituated with it that it arises spontaneously. And it's a commitment that the practitioner makes that they will strive to become a Buddha in order to be of greatest benefit to all sentient beings. And this is the entity or the essence of bodhicitta, the uncontrived of actual bodhicitta, the uncontrived determination to become a Buddha for the sake of others.
And in that, Janju Simja Tamji, the Sanyoga, Tuporsho, Simbi, Jim, my imbeci, Kiva, Ina, that Kiva, the Mutigiri Besna, Digimares, that Dini is Simdi, Yagetango, Confido to Horva, Chisati, Confido to Elia, and the Carilla, Yamlin Chioresine, Mandu Setele in there, and the Casuri, Diminia Becedo, and Janju Singa Pain, Part, Samataya, and it Janju Sim.
Lian住你来，什么菜呢？什么垃圾吧？那三月七十八，对，就都吃那样子的。Lian住高米啊，鸡啊，当。今年三月七十八，那六月没通话，来腊月啊，那正月三月也就主要端到了，初三也腊月啊，是呢。今年腊月初一，俺就吃的了一年。今年腊月初一，人把肉洗洗，俺那洗好了，俺那叫我去买一年呀，得那个的，啊，就讲就是明年才要过腊月端到了呀，俺明年吃呀，晓得，俺就把就多些呢，哎，洗，月饼那呢，当俺就开心干了，洗啥吧？是呢，正月三月朋友节呀，当，俺那，三月几月初多，在三月初什么，就像这两种，俺明年吃好了，晓得。俺这里买学的，那得那嘛，今年，三月。 Previously, over a number of weeks, we looked at how to generate bodhicitta. And bodhicitta, what's considered actual bodhicitta, is when it rises spontaneously or it's uncontrived. But when one generates uncontrived bodhicitta, as remarkable as it is, as one is then entering into the Mahayana path of accumulation and is counted amongst bodhisattvas, that remarkable achievement on its own is insufficient. Bodhicitta needs to be cultivated ever further. It needs to be deepened, strengthened within oneself. And how to do so? There are four trainings that we've started to look at how to deepen and strengthen bodhicitta within the context of this life. And there are four trainings to come that we are still to look at about deepening and strengthening bodhicitta in our future lives. Four trainings then to engage into deepen and strengthen bodhicitta in this life we have on page 36. And they were the training of recollecting the benefits of bodhicitta in order to increase the strength of your enthusiasm for it. And secondly, the training of generating bodhicitta 6 times each day in order to increase one's actual bodhicitta. Thirdly, the training of not mentally abandoning any sentient being for whose sake you develop bodhicitta. And fourthly, the training of accumulating merit. Of these four then, which we looked at in brief 2 weeks ago, last week we looked at the first two, the training of recollecting the benefits of bodhicitta in order to increase the strength of your enthusiasm for it, and the training of generating bodhicitta 6 times each day in order to increase one's actual bodhicitta. We looked at those two in more detail. Tonight then, we'll look at the third one and in more detail, the training of not mentally abandoning any sentient being for whose sake you develop bodhicitta. And this is then in the middle of page
38. Jala lama sona, ndele ya tong shera mena jala dabo jeg marwa. Pene jala de tong shera mato wende dene, gansele yu shaya da, yumil de shaya da, dene shene sosul ya chi dabo shera jeg marwa. Chisa, di nanshi, janshu sem de, jik da chenpo shu, jim nang jala ina pe, da chenpo shu, zan jie chenpo, nyuba chenpo shu, jiyo ba da tsa go na, di pe dabo jeg le shu, dabo jeg ruwa da, dabo pe, dabo yako jeg ruwa. Di nanshi, janshu sem ge yuen de na, paye da, Denigi Samtai, Susu Gula, Jenusim Giobin, Tibet, Dapuja, the Manyambaji, Yamlin Jagi, Diala Pingurua, Jesna, that Susu Gula, Jenusim Gi, Menaya, Jenusim Pay, Denigi, some Ditting Alia, Gi Woodsumbi, Ditting Tokwoodsumbi, Ditoya Dumbushu Chimuligua, Jesna Dine, that Jenusim Pay, some Dong, where they get him, Dichagua, or Jenusim Gi Sawaina. Manyamba, ya ye gongpe tu taya shu. Kaisa janju sim penyam samma taa na, dini ko gili gili chini ma nyam juhe, nyanga yorwe, dini za penyam samma taa mure se che. Na yang jia, nimi riri liya, tinga za chal ruk ruk janju sim gongpo ure se li gie, janju sim gie ure la du, janju sim du gie ju gongpo ure se ure taa du. Di yang na yang du, ma gongpa ne, dangpo ji gie sa shi, yang na yang ma gongpa sha shi wana, jie ru ure wa, jie shi na, ko nyam ru ure wa.
So then briefly recap what we looked at last week, which was looking at the first two of those four in more detail. The purpose of recollecting the benefits of bodhicitta, even within a bodhisattva, so someone who has generated uncontrived bodhicitta, is so that to come to truly recognize the value of the bodhicitta that they've generated. Because just like with one of our possessions, if we don't value it, we won't take care of it. Bodhicitta, to the extent that even a bodhisattva recognizes the great value of this precious mind that they have achieved, to the extent that they recognize its value, they will not only take great care of it and thereby prevent its degeneration, but also they will strive to strengthen it, to ensure that it grows ever deeper within them. In accompanying this, we looked last week at the second of the four points, training in generating bodhicitta 6 times each day in order to increase one's actual bodhicitta. And the purpose of this is similar to the first, the purpose of recollecting the benefits of bodhicitta. And that is to deepen the bodhicitta within our continuum and to ensure that it grows ever stronger, ever more pervasive, ever more powerful within us.
嗯，我们的呢，像俺这个六角楼，这些像俺这现在六角楼的新规呢，杨家的必须打，免把六毛铺人的姐姐介入多，俺的男性就把钱给了哇，就是俺俺这讲究什么，就来借买吧，那俺这路不行呢，但俺这讲究什么，就来借买买吧，借买买呢，俺讲究什么，便宜点，什么大的，借的就对不借的，但俺这个呢，什么叫他们这个上去吃什么东西？
甚至他们就上去过，突破说，甚至什么的，俺就养的养多都是大白呢。等等，俺就有什么的呢？你这个，江西生姐了呀，他年龄也足够了哇。他年龄着呢？俺都头有嘛了吧？就像江西生，在俺西过了，俺就江西生毛头白人了呀。
And as I mentioned last week and the week before, that whilst this text is explicitly saying that these trainings are for new bodhisattvas, for ourselves who are not bodhisattvas but we aspire to be so, these trainings we should also engage in. Because just like subjects one may have studied some years ago, through not thinking about them again, what one knew well before is now perhaps almost completely forgotten. Similarly, one may engage in meditation on bodhicitta, gain some experience of love and compassion within oneself, but that is impermanent and will fade. However, through reflecting repeatedly on the benefits of bodhicitta, what we have achieved, this will become more stable and perhaps will grow. And to aid it in growing, we engage in the second point, reflecting on bodhicitta 6 times a day. And as was mentioned, this is can be done through the recitation and reflection on the refuge and bodhicitta prayer, which we have on page 38. And through reciting and reflecting on the meaning, this will again aid the bodhicitta that, or the level of bodhicitta or love and compassion that we have cultivated, to at least remain be more stable and not decline, as well as hopefully increase it in strength. So therefore, these trainings are equally relevant to us as aspirant
bodhisattvas. 남도양
Now we come to the third, to look at in more detail, the third or the fourth, trainings to strengthen bodhicitta within this life. So in the middle of page 38, next to point 3, we are developing bodhicitta in order to be able to benefit all sentient beings. Therefore, no matter how any of them relates to you, from your side, never abandon seeking enlightenment in order to benefit them.
The
meaning then of this third point is that when a new bodhisattva, being who has recently given rise to uncontrived bodhicitta in their continuum, will engage in a variety of activities to be of benefit to others. Whilst doing so, they will encounter many difficulties and problems from others. Others may, for example, take advantage of them, take them for granted, be abusive towards them, and so forth. And this can be dispiriting. The new bodhisattva, having given rise to this determination to benefit all beings, now is facing ingratitude or facing being taken for advantage of or deceived. And this could lead to the new bodhisattva giving up on a particular sentient being. It could lead to the degeneration of their bodhicitta.
Jinyu simbi nyam rana yumjian gare lamna da disiwar daagi simjian tamji gi duanda la jinyu sim geba yinbi sidi. Jin sanju sim gi duwa simjian tamji gi duanda la sanju guwa toba shuo se sim gi guruwa. Jin simjian tamji simjian gane ji yinan desu dunga li ya kuyo dunga la ngayi kondzu li penpa zhub. Kondzu ya an sanji sali ya gi yi diin zangi sanju guwa toba shuo simi simjian tamji gi duanda sim geba li. This
is made explicit in the first sentence here. We are developing bodhicitta in order to be able to benefit all sentient beings. And the key word here is all. Because this here is similar to the definition of bodhicitta, where one commits to strive to become a Buddha for the sake of benefiting all sentient beings. And should a bodhisattva give up on just one sentient being, no longer can they claim to be striving to become a Buddha for the sake of all, because they have now abandoned one. They have now said, for this one, I will not make any effort. So therefore, the danger comes when should the bodhisattva abandon even one being, they no longer can say they are striving for the welfare of all, and therefore their bodhicitta has degenerated.
What's
clear for Bodhisattva is that their objective will be on benefiting others, and they'll do so through the combinations of love, compassion, and wisdom, always focused on benefiting others. Then what they need to ensure is conjoined with this focus is that they should not have any hope to receive anything in return. The only reward for their endeavors to benefit others should be benefit coming to others, not hoping for anything in return from others. And thereby, they will keep their focus on benefiting others. And there will be no concern about what may come their way, because their mind is completely other-focused.
Gabriela, 벤지게 튕긴 마다와다 내나제 강아티네 디스기데 어당가 갈레 주르샹이 코들 로고치 투사 말에서 비 어디 삼다기요 말에 지단 기디네 소소응원에 강아 같이 태비나 어당이 콘솔레 균열이 땅이 메시 콘솔이 기디 펜버주야 두기야 삼데 삼당고래시래
Yeah, then the Bodhisattva, who would have already generated this other focused mind, with a mind that's focused on the benefit, the welfare to others, they need to ensure that they also explicitly have generated within themselves that should they receive criticism from others, whether directly to their face or behind their back, or whether others thank them or not, where others are aware of what the Bodhisattva is doing for them or not. This isn't important. What's important is that with love, compassion and wisdom, the Bodhisattva is engaging in activities that benefit beings. Not how they respond, but that their activities are of benefit to others. And with this focus on the welfare of others, the Bodhisattva will not give up on any sentient being, no matter what the response, no matter how much harm they receive from others. In their heart, they'll never give up on even a single being. The very first of the five mental paths is the path of accumulation, and the Bodhisattva enters into that when they generate uncontrived bodhicitta. And the path of accumulation has three levels, small, middling, and great. On the small level, so when the path of accumulation is newly achieved, the bodhicitta within a bodhisattva can be called relatively weak. And it's at that point, whilst the bodhisattva is abiding with a mental path of the small mental path of accumulation, that there is the possibility of their losing their bodhicitta. So we can imagine then a new bodhisattva with great eagerness, engaging in beneficial activities, trying to ease the suffering burden of others. But then in return, they receive ingratitude, perhaps criticism. They're struggling to influence beings to turn from non-virtue, turn towards virtue. And they may think to themselves, sentient beings are limitless in number. A bodhisattva, in order to fulfill the ambition of becoming a Buddha for the sake of others, has to accumulate the merit of eon upon eons. This is a huge task. And look at all the difficulty I'm experiencing now from ingratitude, the difficulty of having a positive influence on others. This is too difficult. This is too much. Rather, I'm going to strive for my own individual liberation. I've got a taste for real spiritual progress. I'm now going to put aside this commitment that I have made, and I'm going to strive for my own liberation from samsara. And should the bodhisattva think like this, they will abandon the Mahayana Dharma, abandon their bodhicitta. This potential danger exists for bodhisattvas on the small level of the path of accumulation. But through developing their bodhicittas, it becomes deeper within them. When they progress to the middling level of the path of accumulation, from there, their bodhicitta is stable and it will not degenerate. They will not lose their bodhicitta. This training then is as relevant for ourselves as it is for new bodhisattvas. Because whilst we are still a long way from generating uncontrived bodhicitta and becoming bodhisattvas, we do at least hold an aspiration to be counted amongst the children of the Buddhas, to become a bodhisattva, to achieve the Mahayana path of accumulation. And in order to achieve that, we engage in our meditations every day, reflecting repeatedly on the various levels of training to engage in order to generate bodhicitta. And to whatever extent we generate love and compassion within us, we then have that as a motivating influence in our lives, serving us to encourage us to be of benefit to others, to help others in accordance with our abilities. So here, how we should utilize this training is that when we give rise to the commitment to be of benefit to others, to ease their burden of suffering, to not add to the burden of suffering, we must be realistic and remind ourselves that in doing so, we will encounter problems. People will respond to us in ways we don't like. They will treat us in a way we don't like, either directly or perhaps behind our back. We will experience frustrations, problems, and difficulties. And moreover, amongst the people we interact with, there will still be those that we feel closer to, and those we feel distant from, and those we perhaps want nothing to do with. To the extent that we allow that attitude to influence our acts of love and compassion and wisdom towards others, our attainment of bodhicitta will be impeded. This becomes a grave obstacle to the generation of bodhicitta within us. If we decide that person or those people, I want nothing to do with them, I will do nothing for them. But this group, them I'll help, or this one I will help. That mental attitude of abandoning some, this is a severe obstacle to the generation of bodhicitta. Rather, if we try to hold all sentient beings in our heart, then whatever we realistically can do for others, whether it's material assistance or assisting them with our skills and our talents, we should do so without hope for anything in return, without concern for who they are and their relationship to us. If we have the opportunity to help, we should do so. And that then is how we can train in accordance with this third advice, to not have bias towards others or discrimination, but where we can be of benefit, we should do so.
Tā shēngi tsū kārēliyā chik sōsōla mākāwā tā sōsō yuñjī rōchē kārē chēvī nē yā sōsō yuñjī pāliyā rōpa chēyā tā pāntuā kārē jitū tī jīyīn sēmbē sāṁ tāyā chīk shē. Nē nīpā tī sōsō kārēliyā sōsō kāngā tā sōsō kī gyōvō tā kāngā kārē chāvā yinā yā dī ngī dātī dī nī kē kāngā tūnā shēnlā rōpa chē mātū bā yinā yā māngō pā nā kōkā prā tū ngī gītī nā rōpa jīyīn sēmbē sāṁ tāyā tī nī kī chīmā chā gō rē.
When one does, and when one has generated an aspiration to benefit others, one will, as has been said, encounter difficulties and problems. And there will be times that one does not help others, when one isn't there for others. And sometimes there are valid reasons for doing that. And in those occasions, we recognize the limits that we have right now, and we commit ourselves ever more so to continue with our spiritual development so that we can develop through these limitations that we have now. And thereby, that where there are the circumstances or the situations where we cannot engage with others and be of benefit to others, we commit to developing ourselves so that in the future, those obstacles no longer impede us. And furthermore, we set the motivation that if there are particular individuals that right now we don't have the capacity or the skill to be of benefit to them, we take this then as a source of motivation to develop ourselves spiritually, so that we are no longer impeded to help those kinds of people or that individual. So therefore, there are circumstances where right now we are not ready to help others. And there, in those circumstances, we stand back and we don't engage with them now, but we commit to continue with our spiritual development so that in the future we don't face, that these circumstances are not obstacles, but we can work through them.
Now
we come to the final one of the four for cultivating, strengthening bodhicitta in this life. If you develop a spark of bodhicitta even once, try to prevent it from degenerating. Also, try to further it by accumulating merit, by contemplating the qualities of the three jewels, making offerings, meditating, and so forth. as we encourage to do here in the second line, one should accumulate merit so as to strengthen our bodhicitta. And this can be done to making offerings to the three jewels, the Buddha jewel, the Dharma jewel, the Sangha jewel, making offerings to them, doing circumambulating the three jewels, making supplications to the three jewels, offering prostrations to the three jewels, and so forth. And doing so not merely sporadically from time to time, but doing so repeatedly over a sustained period so as to accumulate ever more virtue in order to strengthen one's bodhicitta. And that is how an actual bodhisattva, a practitioner who has generated uncontrived bodhicitta, will engage. And in order to come to this point where they are a bodhisattva, they would have engaged in extensive hearing, reflecting, and meditating, and will continue to do so now that they are bodhisattvas. So therefore, this entire process, we too, who aspire to become bodhisattvas, we too should do so, engage in the accumulation of virtue, hear teachings, reflect, and meditate on their meaning. This then is how actual bodhisattvas train. So for those of us who aspire to achieve the bodhisattva paths, we should look at this and say, this is how bodhisattvas are training. And joy, or we should generate joy or rejoice in what bodhisattvas have achieved and are still achieving. And utilize this mind of joy, this rejoicing within us, utilize this to strive us to strive to follow the example that bodhisattvas set. Follow the example in how they came to achieve bodhicitta. So we then should reflect on the benefits of bodhicitta, such as we see on page 37, that one becomes an object of reverence for humans and gods, that one will accumulate vast stores of merit from the same activities, but now motivated by bodhicitta, that previously accumulated non-virtue will be greatly weakened. And in fact, it's due to the great weakening of previously accumulated non-virtue, due to the generation of bodhicitta, one is very unlikely to be reborn in the lower realms. And if one were to be born in the lower realms, one would instantaneously almost be reborn from there. Moreover, one will be protected from epidemics and so forth. And all of these and many other benefits come from the generation of bodhicitta. So we use the rejoicing, the joy we take in what bodhisattvas have engaged in order to become bodhisattvas and how they're training now to motivate us to achieve those same good qualities ourselves. And moreover, when one enters the bodhisattva paths or attains the mental paths of a bodhisattva, this is the continuum of thought that is developed further into the attainment of Buddhahood itself. When one enters into the paths of bodhisattvas, one is entering into the paths that lead to Buddhahood itself. So thinking like this then gives us strength of mind to continue to strive to accumulate virtue, to purify negativities, and generate bodhicitta ourselves. Having reflected on the benefits of bodhicitta, one will have given rise then to a wish to generate bodhicitta, to become a bodhisattva oneself. Then visualize before oneself one's lama, surrounded by all the Buddhas and bodhisattvas, and visualize them knowing that due to their exalted wisdom, they are present. They are aware of us and present with us. Then from the depths of our heart, make supplications and offerings to them and request their blessings or their inspiration so that we can fulfill our aspiration of generating bodhicitta. And that, with that in heart, we recite the refuge and bodhicitta prayer that we have at the top of page 38. I take refuge until I'm enlightened in the Buddha, the Dharma, and the Sangha. By the merit I create by practicing generosity and the perfections, and the other perfections, may I attain Buddhahood in order to benefit all sentient beings. And as mentioned last week, the first two lines relate to going for refuge. And this is a Mahayana practice. So one is already, whilst one is going for refuge until enlightenment. One's committing directly to our Lama, to the Buddha and the Bodhisattvas, to strive to become just like them, to generate the Dharma jewel within us, to thereby be counted amongst the Sangha jewel and strive until we too become a Buddha. And we will do so by, and then the next two lines, by the merit I create by practicing generosity and other perfections, may I attain Buddhahood in order to benefit all sentient beings. Here we're generating the motivation that everything that we do from this point on will be motivated by this mind of enlightenment, the mind of bodhicitta, and will thereby always try with whatever I do, say, or think to be of benefit to others. So here then we recite this prayer, having reflected on the benefits of bodhicitta, and we do so 3 times. And as the text encourages us, do so 6 times a day. And as mentioned last week, you can do 3 times in the morning, 3 times in the evening. But don't feel that this is a limit. There's no reason that one should not reflect and recite on this prayer many times in the day, especially if one has familiarity with it, familiarity with the reflection. Then one can do a recitation with awareness of the meaning quite easily. So therefore take the 6 times a day merely as a guide and do so whenever one has the opportunity, and thereby continuously or regularly refresh one's motivation. One can recite this prayer whilst, of course, going for refuge and generating bodhicitta, and also whilst then making offerings, whether one is laying out offering bowls and then offering it, or whether one's offering a flower and one's holding a flower in, or flowers in one's hand and offering that, one can recite this prayer. And before one visualizes one's spiritual teacher and the Buddhas and bodhisattvas, and recites this prayer whilst making an offering. And one can, if one doesn't have offering bowls or flowers, one can hold one's mala in one's hand, offer one's mala. Or if one has a bell, ring the bell and offer that sound. Or can also visualize one's merit and offer one's merit. Or one can do a combination of all of these together, or many of these together, and offer this to one spiritual teacher and the Buddhas and Bodhisattvas, with the aspiration as expressed here in the Refuge and Bodhicitta prayer. Whatever physical object or objects one offers, whatever one has, this is good to do. And moreover, one can offer one's virtue, as was said before. And also certainly one's reflection on bodhicitta is entirely relevant. Whatever one's meditating on, but certainly bodhicitta is most relevant here. Reflecting on bodhicitta, offering this. So there are two words for bodhicitta. A second one is called mind generation. And I usually just translate this as bodhicitta. But here one can, through generating the mind, so the mind of enlightenment, one is offering the mind that one is generating to the your Lama, as well as the Buddhas and Bodhisattvas. In this way, the merit that one is creating, one is offering. The bodhicitta one is cultivating, one is offering. So thereby, one's meditation on bodhicitta, whilst engaging in it, one can offer too.
哎呀，俺都是，那个俺都是，俺的那个啥的，俺的那个啥的，俺的那个啥的，俺的那个啥的，俺的那个啥的，俺的那个啥的，俺的那个啥的，俺的那个啥的，俺的那个啥的，俺的那个啥的，俺的那个啥的，俺的那个啥的，俺的那个啥的，俺的那个啥的，俺的那个啥的，俺的那个啥的，俺的那个啥的，俺的那个啥的，俺的那个啥的，俺的那个啥的，俺的那个啥的，俺的那个啥的，俺的那个啥的，俺的那个啥的，俺的那个啥的，俺的那个啥的，俺的那个啥的，俺的那个啥的，俺的那个啥的，俺的那个啥的，俺的那个啥的，俺的那个啥的，俺的那个啥的，俺的那个啥的，俺的那个啥的，俺的那个啥的，俺的那个啥的，俺的那个啥的，俺的那个啥的，俺的那个啥的，俺 ແຕ່ແມ່ສັມເບກຊັນແລະເພັມບໍດຸກິນສັມເບກຊັນດຸງາເສຍດີຈຸກແລະພັນດໍຄັງດຸກິນສັມເບກຊໍາໂນຈະຕ້ອງກັງກັນນິເຊບໄວ້ນະຊັນແລະເພັມບໍດຸກິນຍໍຈິກແມ່ສັມເບຊໍາໂນດີຢູ່ນະຕັງແມ່ດາພາໂລເບສັມເຈງວົນຍະສໍສໍແລະຍໍບາກຽດາກັງອາເຈດາກັດເສມາມາຄະບາເຊບໄວ້ນະພາລະຄົນດຸລຍາຣອກຈິກແມ່ສັມເບຊໍາໂນດີຢູ່ນະຕັງແມ່ຈະຕ້ອງກັງທຸດຸຈິກິນສັມເບຊໍາໂນດີງາຊຸດຸ Sondalia, Pando Gantu Gina, Sambeg Samta Chichem. That Soso Gabriel, Soso Ganga, Benjo Ganga, Nenaze, Ganga, Ganga Kate, Giovine, then Nishelia, Pando Share down, Anichigi, Shangi Dumasia, Digi Tubiagi, Tondala Shanla, Pando Share, Guni Shagami, Sambegitina, Gorfan, and then Chigi, the Mutin, Sanjo, Matova, Chigi, Sambe, the Nigger, some of them of the Yane, Yandu, Sangwede, Yachim Bachagor. 이제 제베는 안도 삼로디 두루 삼로디 뉴슈야 쳐야다 아니 에 지게 자주 샘게 하랴 타 년에 줘야 안디 용고로 제가 되니게 삼로 장고에 되게 침 차고 땅 안도라 람사 오다 미지도 오다 딜레 로버 지게 메선 비게 딜 안이면 되어 지게 메선 비 삼로 레야 레 벽 요고레 타 니우슈 차고로 소소리야
The third training, the way that I encourage you to engage with this, is to make the commitment that one will not give up on any person, no matter how they relate to one, no matter what they do to one or to others, one will not, from the depths of one's heart, give up on them. So here, one commits to wherever one can, and in accordance with our capacity, to help others, to be of benefit to others, as best as we can. No matter what they think of oneself, whether they like one or dislike one, where we have the capacity to ease their suffering, I commit to doing so. And then moreover, or secondly here, whatever difficulties I experience in my life, that are limiting my capacity to be of benefit to others. For example, if I'm such as illness or impoverishment. So these are impediments to us being of benefit to others. But one generates strength of mind that I won't let these impediments stop me from being of benefit to others. Even if my capacity right now is reduced because of illness or impoverishment, in accordance with the capacity that I currently have, I will help others still. And moreover, seeing how I am limited, I make the commitment to strive to spiritually develop ever further, and thereby, as my current limited capacity, as this limitation weakens and my inner strength and capacity grows, in accordance with my growing capacity, I will be of ever more benefit to others. So in this way, the limitations that we do have now, we don't allow them to limit us, but we rather utilize them to spur us to develop ever further. And thereby, with this commitment that as I grow spiritually, I commit to being of ever greater benefit to others. And this whole time, even those that I cannot help now, I make the commitment that as I grow spiritually, I will be of help to them in the future.
Whilst bodhisattvas will engage in this accumulation of virtue in order to strengthen and stabilize and deepen their bodhicitta, for us, we need to accumulate virtue with the motivation to generate bodhicitta. So whilst bodhisattvas are striving to strengthen their uncontrived bodhicitta, we too will engage in similar activities, but our motivation will be to generate bodhicitta. So therefore, with the motivation to generate bodhicitta, we visualize our spiritual teachers and the three jewels, make offerings to them, some water bowls or flowers. We can engage in any virtuous activity that we incline to, such as reciting the Mani mantra or any other mantra, or recitation of sutras such as the Heart Sutra, or engage in meditation, or the offering of our merit. And we engage in this accumulation of virtue, all motivated by the aspiration that we may generate bodhicitta, actual bodhicitta within our continuum, and enter into the paths of bodhisattvas for the sake of others. Some
但今年什么大的？什么电话的电脑？什么什么大的？什么电话听过都？电话听不得了，那鱼蛋煎没把了，鱼蛋煎没把，看下电话里头嘛了。实际上，他鱼蛋煎搞的是呢，金边人来吃，粗粮人随便人来吃，粗粮人来吃，俺的数据。这是另外的，你觉得没有出什么事？这是下过来。其实电力上电话电过度，电位用要具体电过度。其实电力的电源具体控制了什么样的呀？他把刚偷渡银行刚写把控制了那些金边年龄解决呀，出什么送酒呀，社保工具呀，尊重年龄解决呀。那什么的呢？写了老师年龄去刚偷渡那个身边的那什么大的节气嘛，下过来吧。我的那些身边他们就同样的站啊，身边什么大的，身边他们就同样的搞的是利益的，就搞的利益的是就牛毛吧，对啊，像空庄啊这些，这些呢，猎杀、猎鸡，我们都是利益的哇。第二啥，啊呢，这些呀，可以牛同样要就牛毛吧，这些帮过多，就是牛毛帮了，看到了面包税，肯定税就是呢，俺刚行为看到了怕拉不，你特别节节。安呢，俺先把那俺了，俺让妈先把那先新人做了呀，特别是或者腊九节，或者年年解决，要么不办呀啦，俺都是年年解决些，过面的这些，就算今年今年，什么叫他们就同俺的赚呐，三百个都用不上三大的基金，三百三大，我都是那过面的，咱们你就过面的也，啊，咱就是什么用完了的的少的的吃过，然后都节气末的收吃过的，那就算他们有错啥事，说错事的嘛都。你讲你讲嘛，我们那错合适，那真是什么的，突然没的。
An important point I want to emphasize here with this fourth training. No matter how much merit one accumulates and aspires to generate bodhicitta, that alone will not lead to the generation of bodhicitta. The primary way, the actual way that one generates bodhicitta, is through cultivating love and compassion.As well as through strengthening, cultivating, developing our other cherishing mind and weakening our self-cherishing mind. The role that the accumulation of merit plays is that it strengthens, powers our meditation, our development of love and compassion. But one has to engage in the cultivation of love and compassion in order to become a bodhisattva. So here, there are a few points to make.We need to recognize, we need to be mindful, we need to be aware of our thought process and see when our everyday thought process, not just on the meditation cushion, but throughout our day, when it's in accordance with the mind or bodhicitta or in accordance with love or compassion, and when it's not. And when it's not, we need to ensure that we turn it back towards love and compassion.For example, as soon as we notice an affliction present, we know the self-cherishing mind, that now is playing its part. The right or the self-cherishing mind and the afflictions, these are what bring harm to ourselves and to others. For example, when someone acts towards us in an unwanted way and we think, how can they speak to me in this way? There our self-cherishing arises. And here,We're in grave danger, in danger of accumulating non-virtue. Afflictions such as pride, perhaps anger have arisen, and under their influence, we'll speak back to them in a harmful manner. And this is the process. Through the arisal of the self-cherishing mind and accompanying afflictions, we accumulate non-virtue. The expression of this through our physical behavior or our verbal communication leads to the further accumulation of non-virtue.So we need to be mindful of this. And moreover, in our meditations, generating the mind of love is generating the genuine wish, may all beings experience happiness. And in order to do so, may they accumulate the causes of happiness, the causes that lead to happiness, generosity, ethics, patience, and so forth. So may all beings experience happiness, may they generate the causes of happiness, but for them to do so,They need a spiritual guide. I will strive to be of benefit to them in this way, but to do so, I also need to generate these causes so that I can experience happiness and I can be skilled in the cultivation of the causes for happiness. The more skilled one is through meditating on generosity and ethics and patience and so forth, the the more skilled we'll be in guiding others in the cultivation of the causes of happiness. We apply the same thinking to suffering. So compassion is the wish, may all beings be free of suffering. May all beings be freed of the causes of suffering. Here we know that the causes of suffering are the afflicted minds. And so we too need to be freed of the afflictions, because we also want to be freed of suffering. So we need to strive to abandon the afflictions. And it's as we become ever more skilled in abandoning the afflictions, initially weakening them, not being so influenced by them, not having them arise so powerfully, as we can become more skilled in our training, we can be more skilled in guiding others in how to overcome the causes that will otherwise lead to suffering. So here in brief, generating love and compassion in our meditation, we need to do that and develop it further, that we need to cultivate the causes for happiness within ourselves and eliminate the causes that would otherwise lead to suffering. And we need to do so with the motivation that through becoming more skilled in this training, we will be able to be a more skilled guide for others. So in this way, when we're cultivating the causes for happiness within ourselves and eliminating the afflicted minds that will otherwise lead to suffering, we are doing so motivated by an intention to be of benefit to others, with an intention that through our spiritual development, may we be an ever more positive benefit in the lives of others. May we have an ever more positive impact on the lives of others.
전주심 규례기 초세디 초세디 규로 차 규로 고래 초세디 계기 전주심 계기 초원에 사야디 전주심 가서 잠바 고미야다 니제 고미야 되네 심제 탐제 동화들아 니지기 집에 라삼도 고미야디 차고래 지단디 초원에 차 전주심 계기 규 원에 초원에 디차와 디 고미야디 계신 보래 니 잠니제 약보지 깨와라야 나도 니엘 가르고 고스네 那叔叔嚷嚷了三大节，东岸那叔当，东岸的了，他姑身边叔叔嚷嚷了呀，的那个刚刚给的那用过来是别的那个药吧的，这叔叔嚷嚷了三大节，东岸查过个吧，过别军前，那东岸查过身边三毛的血清不药吧，那的那让他先掉掉吧，几包东岸没得吧，几包的三大药的，现在东岸的查对，你记得，也来用过来，叔叔讲了呀，错话的的那个。
那东岸查过比军前三大结巴结巴结巴结巴结巴结巴结巴结巴结巴结巴结巴结巴结巴结巴结巴结巴结巴结巴结巴结巴结巴结巴结巴结巴结巴结巴结巴结巴结巴结巴结巴结巴结巴结巴结巴结巴结巴结巴结巴结巴结巴结巴结巴结巴结巴结巴结巴结巴结巴结巴结巴结巴结巴结巴结巴结巴结巴结巴结巴结巴结巴结巴结巴结巴结巴结巴结巴结巴结巴结巴结巴结巴结巴结巴结巴结巴结巴结巴结巴结巴结巴结巴结巴结巴结巴结巴结巴结巴结巴结巴结巴结巴结巴结巴结巴结巴结巴结巴结巴结巴结巴结巴结巴结巴结巴结巴结巴结巴结巴结巴结巴结巴结巴结巴结巴结巴结巴结巴结巴结巴结巴结巴结
我说那米线的说男人雇佣的呢，哦，但那是今天的用过的，身边什么呢？就让今天那个的，今天用过的是几十年了吧？就是那是今天用过的，身边那么少错了呀，积累的了嘛。所以说，第一个那个娘苗子没呢，那个那个那边哦，那个那是有了什么的，米线给错下来的，看我吃过了。就是今天像说说了呀，娘苗子的那个就有吧？那现在什么当的讲吧，讲吧他，俺就你是什么当的？
Here's here then in this meditation, I want to encourage you to engage in this and other meditations in a particular way. And that is to use your intelligence. Use your intelligence. So virtue. Virtue is... Okay, the first thing Gendler said, that what we have here in point four, this word accumulating. So here it's in the context of accumulating merit, but the actual accumulation that one should think of in terms of generating bodhicitta is the accumulation of love and compassion. This is the actual accumulation. The accumulation of merit in general supports that. The primary practice is cultivation of love, or the accumulation of love and compassion. So in this context, that's how we should understand the term accumulation. Then, where does happiness come from? Where does suffering come from? These are important questions, and these questions you must look at in meditation. So here I want to encourage you, in your meditation, to use your intelligence. Use your intelligence. It is crucial for meditation to transform your way of thinking, to get deep inside and break old harmful habitual ways of thinking, and to develop very strong and transformative virtuous ways of thinking. Reasoning is required. So here, use reasoning. Where does happiness come from? Where does suffering come from? What are the causes that will lead to happiness? How do I cultivate those causes that lead to happiness? And those causes I've identified that lead to suffering, how can I eliminate those? The clearer that we see this for ourselves, the more transformative this understanding will be. Moreover, we then need to take this understanding that we are cultivating in each meditation session and ask ourselves, as I'm coming to know myself better, is this person that I'm seeing myself to be, am I completely unique in these ways? Or do I share these traits with others? My wish for happiness, do I share that with others? My wish to be freed from suffering, do I share that with others? The causes that lead to happiness, do they lead to happiness only for myself or others too? And likewise, the elimination of the causes that will lead to suffering for myself, do I share this with others too? And this is another crucial step, because we need to break down this differentiation between self and other and come to see how similar we really are. So here, again, I want to emphasize the need to use analysis, to use reasoning, to come to understand ourselves better, to know ourselves better, and thereby transform ourselves. Because the greater the experience through meditation that we gain of, say, love or compassion, the quicker we'll generate actual love and compassion that's sustained. Whereas if we don't rely on much reasoning, it will be very difficult to bring about any change within ourselves, and certainly not sustain change. Experience is important, and experience comes about much more easily or much easier if we rely on reasoning. For example, if you're talking to a friend and they're sharing something that they've eaten or drunk that was really delicious, and you've never tasted anything like it, you'll be interested in what they have to say, but it won't have much impact on your mind. But let's say you have eaten or drunk it, and you know exactly what they're referring to. You both will be excited because you've shared that experience. And likewise on the other side, if you have a friend who's suffering from toothache, and you know what toothache is like, you've experienced it, readily empathy will arise within you. But if you never experienced toothache, sure, you'll feel something for your friend who's suffering, but it will not be the same if you've never experienced it. So therefore, individual experience is essential in order to transform how we relate to others, to have deep, heartfelt love for others and deep, heartfelt compassion for others. And to give rise to such experience comes about so much more readily if we engage in analytical meditation, meditation based on reasoning. And through this process then, of reasoning based meditation done repeatedly over a sustained period, we'll start to give rise to experience. That experience will progressively deepen, and the attainment of actual bodhicitta will come ever nearer. Then we'll conclude here for tonight, and next week we'll continue on page 38, looking at the causes of not losing the power of bodhicitta in future lifetimes. And that comes through the practice of abandoning the four harmful dharmas and relying on the four constructive dharmas. So that's where we'll start then next week. If you have any questions, then please do feel free to ask. Gato.
Perhaps what we're going to say, accumulating merit, is we should see that as accumulating love and compassion. Does that mean, what does it mean to accumulate love and compassion? Is it the positive karma through love and compassion that we accumulate?
Sure. So before I repeat your question, the way it's translated here is accumulation of merit.
Yeah.
The Tibetans literally just accumulation. So hence he played on the words a little bit, which wouldn't have come across here. But nevertheless, your question then, what does it mean to accumulate love and compassion? Does it really mean accumulating merit through cultivating love and compassion?
Or strengthening those qualities.
Or strengthening those qualities of love and compassion. In brief, yes. So the purpose of accumulation is to accumulate the causes for happiness. And the context that we're in here refers to accumulating love and compassion as causes for happiness. So when we're accumulating love and compassion, we are, as you said, accumulating virtue or merit through strengthening love and compassion, or meditating on love and compassion, and thereby, on the one hand, accumulating virtue, as well as you said, the love and compassion that we have growing in strength. So both of those will happen. Thank you very much.